Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Great weekend. I was club basketball dad, sitting there five games. My 10-year-old, that's what it's all about. And then at night, I was a hoopaholic. I watched the U of A-Utah game, of course. Sat through that marvelous Suns performance on Saturday against San Antonio. And then Markieff Morris just made my weekend. You know, there are times, guys, where there's a player that comes along that you just shake your head and it's like, why is this guy here? You know, this guy's here and he's just annoying. He's not really that good. They're never going to win a title with him. And so this is not me patting myself on the back right off the top of the show and saying, see, I told you so. Because there is no see, I told you so. This is just a fact. Markieff Morris is a complete waste of time in a Suns uniform. Anybody who goes out of their way after getting completely, totally annihilated and wants to make an issue out of the fans just shows you, you are so out of touch. You know, the simple thing is, I'm here to win a title. We're not close. So I'll give you a little conspiracy theory on the Markieff Morris comments on Saturday night and how it leads to his exit from Phoenix. I'll give you that here in a little bit. Jahi Carson signed with a team in another continent. You know, he just keeps bouncing around. Marshawn Lynch decided he needed to go to another continent to talk about the Super Bowl. You can't make this stuff up. In all seriousness, I think the biggest story of the day so far in sports, it's not Goran Dragic against the Suns tonight down in Miami. I'll give you that. It's Ndamukong Suh. I'm going to talk about Ndamukong Suh because the Lions decided to forego the franchise tag. Ndamukong Suh will end up being the highest paid player in the history of the National Football League on the defensive side of the football here this offseason. And there's these teams that are going to look at signing Ndamukong Suh like the Raiders in Jacksonville because they're the Raiders in Jacksonville. Of course, they're going to pay half their payroll to one guy. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And then the Coyotes decided to blow things up. I don't know what it means. And today's a big day in the sports world here locally because today is the title game day in high school basketball for both girls and boys. This is not going to create big news on Twitter. This is not going to create trending topics, which is what big media companies chase after, which is just absurd. This is a day that locally we should talk about this a little bit in my mind. Paula Bovin will be with us, news and notes. If she weighs in and says, I'm a big fan of Markieff Morris, then I'm going to have to get after her. Like, are you kidding me? You're a columnist. You have to crush him. Now, I'm not going to tell her how to do her job. I shouldn't go that far. But it's just my view on what we do here digitally is anybody who's going to defend Markieff Morris for what he said Saturday night is just on the company payroll. That's it. Adrian Peterson in the Cardinals. Paula weighed in on that over the weekend. I want to follow up with her on that. Chris Cartman will be with us on today's show. Chris Cartman is moving on, at least from one site to another, which happens in the profession of recruiting. There's recruiting sites all over the place, and he's decided to go from Rivals over to Scout, and he's renamed his site, so sundevilsource.com. So we're going to talk with Chris Cartman on the show today. Eric is in the big chair today with us. You have a good weekend? Should you do anything fun? Well, you saw me like at 2 o'clock on a Saturday. I mean,
yeah, we were out watching hoops, but yeah, it was a good weekend. It's busy. I'm in the process of moving. So yeah. You know how that goes.
You need any help?
I did like 2 weeks ago, but thanks for offering now.
Yeah. I knew you did 2 weeks ago. That's why I didn't offer.
We were playing Tetris with boxes in the living room.
Tetris. So, yeah. That is old school.
You know how it is when you have to like take a box and try to figure out, okay, we can fit this box over here in the corner.
They say the average person moves 7 times in their life.
This will be my third.
I think we've moved like, I don't know, 4 or 5 times.
Okay.
5 times.
So you're kind of on average.
What are you saying? Is the end near for me?
No. Just saying that you're just getting, you
I'm
know.
Kind of average.
At your age, I mean, you are like.
Don't bring up age.
You're on the back half of the century now. So
feeling old, throwing dirt on me. Let's get you caught up. Something that's in my mind in the world of sports. I'm going to bring Eric back on some of this stuff, too. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top. It is in the beautiful White Mountains, and they have been a part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one. and we appreciate that. The deal with Honda Resort and Casino, with all this weather moving in, it means more snow for the Sunrise Ski Resort. Sunrise Ski Resort, just outside of where the Honda Resort and Casino is located. You can get all your ski stuff at the Honda Resort and Casino. Head up to Sunrise, go skiing for the day, do some sledding, some snowboarding, and then come back to the casino at night, rest up, relax in your great room, and then go eat some food, have some fun, pull down on the slots, have some great entertainment. Do it all at the Honda Resort and Casino. It's great they're having snow this year. Last year, there was not a whole lot of snow up there, and I felt bad for the people in the community because that tourism is what drives it. And it's been a great snow season for the Honda Resort and Casino, again, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains, Honda Resort and Casino. Paula Bovin in about, 15, 20 minutes. So the Suns play tonight. They play in Miami. It's Goran Dragic against the Suns. Typically, when there's these type of games and it's on the team's home floor, the guy that's at home comes out and plays really well and is the one that comes out victorious. In this case, it would be Goran Dragic. Will he have anything bitter to say towards the Suns? And the response from the Suns after he left, when Lon Babby went out of his way to talk about Goran, which was just silly in my mind, and Jeff Hornacek and all that stuff. I don't know what benefit it would do Goran Dragic to respond. We're hoping that he comes out and says, those guys are this, that, because it would make for a fun Tuesday show. But in all seriousness, what benefit tonight will it have if Goran Dragic says anything other than he goes out tonight and crushes Eric Bledsoe? It's a personal game for Eric Bledsoe. I think it's a bigger game for Eric Bledsoe than it is for Goran Dragic, because supposedly now this is Eric Bledsoe's team. Eric Bledsoe played very well on Thursday night against Oklahoma City, and that leads us over to what happened on Saturday. The main sports story in the Valley over the weekend was that the Phoenix Suns did something they've never done before. They had the lowest scoring performance in a half in the history of the franchise. Let me repeat that just so you know for emphasis. It was the worst offensive showing they've ever had in a half. I thought it was funny. Paul Coro on Twitter, I was following him as the game was going on. I was not at the game. I don't find myself wanting to go to too many games. I'll go to 5 or 10 games a year. 5 in working capacity and 5 as a fan. And it's not really a fan of the Suns. I'm a fan of basketball. There are some nights where I want to see very good NBA players, and so I'll go. I'll find a way to go. Somebody offer me tickets, or I'll just go. After the game was done, the Suns suffered one of the most humiliating losses in the history of the franchise Saturday night. They were so non-competitive. I mentioned Paul Coro on Twitter. He said he was giving Robert Sarver credit because Sarver and his wife were still standing until the Suns made their first basket. Unfortunately, I think it was, what, Eric, 8 minutes in? Something like that?
Yeah, it was a forgettable performance Saturday.
Yeah.
One of the worst Suns games in the history of the organization,
yeah.
As you mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. So they're sitting there hoping that their team scores, and they weren't scoring. And so they had to keep standing. And, of course, it is against a team that Sarver criticized in October. Hey, these guys didn't play their best players. I would like to personally apologize, and you should get your money back. Well, now, Robert, your team on Saturday night put up a grand total of 74 points. Your team put up the worst performance in a half in the history of the franchise with 24 points. And that's with all the current players. So by my way of thinking, my logic would be you should give money back to the fans who sat through that slop on Saturday night. Am I wrong here? You had Kawhi Leonard at 22 and 10, but you had Markieff Morris, who's the one that decided to make it all about himself after the game was done. Markieff Morris went into the locker room after the Suns shot 18% in the first half. And after the game, Markieff Morris decided to do the let's talk about fans after a game in which we get crushed by the champs. Here is Markieff Morris. Our fans aren't any good.
Like, every night is not going to be a great night, you know what I mean? is going to happen. Like, stuff like that is going to happen. We just expect more from them, you know, because I know they expect more from us.
Was it more than just tonight, though? Because they didn't really boo you or anything tonight.
No, they don't boo. But they don't cheer that much neither. You know, we feed off, for the most part, off the energy of each other. You know what I mean? I know we're a lot better than that. I know Phoenix fans is a lot better than that. Like I said, we have a lot of genuine fans that cheer for us, the ones that's in the first row, in the second row, in the third row. But once you go up, you know, it felt like, you know, people were just at the game just watching. You know, when we stand up, when we fighting, and I got to do this 15 times for, you know, to get the fans up, I don't think that's fair to us, you know, putting our heart and our soul out there trying to get to the playoffs for this organization, for this city, and try to bring this city back to where it was, you know, with that type of, you know, treatment.
You know, you hear this and you're like, he's not serious. He's really not serious. You just lost by 27. That's the most one-sided point loss of the season, for one. It's the fewest points and a half that the franchise has ever scored. And you're going to go out of your way to talk about fans? I don't know. I've done some fan stuff through the years. I remember the Diamondbacks back in 2000, and I got crushed by the Republic. Republic does big column. Who does he think he is calling out fans? So when the Diamondbacks were in their first pennant, it was 99, actually. They were in their first postseason run, and it wasn't even in the postseason yet, and the fans found their way into doing the wave, like, at times when the Diamondbacks were batting. And so I thought that fans needed to be educated because we had not had Major League Baseball here before, and that doing the wave while you're in a pennant race, while your team is at bat, shows that you're completely bored and is inappropriate. And so I went on my show after the games were over, day in and day out, and just ripped on the fans. Just said, this is stupid. What are you guys thinking? What are you doing? And do I regret saying it like that? Yeah, I probably do in hindsight. You know, who am I to say how you should spend your money and your time? But they wouldn't do that in St. Louis. They wouldn't do that when the Cardinals are in a pennant race. They wouldn't do that in a great baseball city. And I wanted Phoenix to be a great baseball city. Phoenix has not become a great baseball city. We don't. We're not. And part of that is because the team has not been any good at all. Now over to the Suns, going after fans after you have your worst showing of the year. Here's more Markieff Morris. The fans are letting us down.
I just feel like, you know, we just expect more from the fans. That's basically what I'm getting to. We expect more. We expect this to be a home court advantage every time we step on the court, no matter if we play in Orlando, no matter if we play in Cleveland. As simple as that.
I mean, he's just out of his mind. He's lost his mind. Or is he trying to put the first step into, we got to get Markieff out of here? And that's my thought. He can't be that out of touch. He just can't. On the other side, I mentioned some college basketball I wanted to get to. Marshawn Lynch and Ndamukong Suh over the weekend. The Coyotes blow up their roster. Paula Bovin in about 15 minutes. And then we'll have Chris Cartman at about 10:50 on his new move, his new adventure. Sports360AZ.com. There's plenty of content up on Sports360AZ.com right now that you can check out around the high school basketball finals that are tonight. Some great playoff features on the college front, pro front as well. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
I can't let go of Markieff Morris because I've got a couple more thoughts on that. Paula Bovin in about 10 minutes. I'm getting these notes that Paula, I'm just going to have to get in a fight with Paula today, just some stuff. Chris Cartman at about 10:50. So more on Markieff Morris. He and his brother are here and, in my opinion, have completely disappointed the franchise. Markieff was a first-round pick, was a project, has developed into a nice player. Some nights he's really good. Some nights he's non-existent. Some nights he plays hard. Some nights he doesn't. Many nights he wears his emotions on his sleeve and has frustrated the franchise. Taking the tack that he took on Saturday night, I can't imagine that Robert Sarver and Ryan McDonough and Jeff Hornacek want a player on their roster to win a title. It's all about building a roster to win a title. That would go out of his way to talk at great lengths. Here's a little bit more, if you missed it. Actually, this is Marcus Morris. Marcus Morris chimed in because his brother did. So, of course, Marcus chimed in on this.
I seen more Spurs jersey than I seen Suns jersey. So, you know, man, sometimes when you come out flat, you need your fans to pick you up. And we didn't get that tonight, so.
I've seen more Spurs jerseys than I do Suns jerseys. So why are you looking into the crowd? Because you're paid to play basketball. You should see five jerseys across from you, and that's it. That's the five players that are playing. You shouldn't have any attention at all to what is in the stands.
There's so much wrong with the three sound bites that we just played. There, I mean, we could spend the entire show nitpicking through what the Morris twins said. When you open Pandora's box, which is calling out the fans, especially, Brad, like you said, on a night where the Suns were just brutal. I mean, if the Suns had won 15 straight and the games weren't selling out and the Suns were, like, vying to be, like, a top seed,
yeah,
and you're saying, you know what, like, hey, we're playing really well, it'd be nice if the fans showed up. Okay, yeah, I get it. But when you're on the cusp of the playoffs again and the team is being recycled and trading its big players and going again,
yeah,
and you're just a borderline playoff team, and what Markeith said about, well, we could see the fans in the first, second, and third rows cheering, but we couldn't see really anyone else cheering. You're calling out, like, the heart of your fan base. The heart of your fan base is not the first, second, third, fifth, eighth row.
Yeah.
Those are all the corporate people. Your fans are the ones that are in the upper deck, the people, the T-shirt fans, the people that buy season tickets and sit in the middle of the lower bowl, and you're basically saying, you know what, F you. We don't care about
you.
It's true. Listen, I mean, think as a fan, and I am a Suns fan, if I'm paying $75 a ticket to go see that, and the players are going to say that about us after the way they performed, we've got big problems.
But here's my thing on this. I have not been a fan of Markeith Morris for how long now?
Since they drafted him.
Okay, so when it gets to this point that he's this just out of touch, that's just some of the dumbest comments I've ever heard. And I've heard a lot of dumb comments through the years out of players. That's got to be right up there near the top.
And I'm guessing, Brad, the Morris twins probably share the same agents. And you can kind of see how this all could have played out. You mentioned it in the last segment. Hey, you want to get out of Phoenix?
I get out of Phoenix.
You don't think there's a vision? I got an idea.
Yeah.
Next time you guys stink and it's a home game, say this.
Yep. Or and this happens, agents text players during games. So what do players do when games are over?
First thing they do is check their phone.
And they check their phone. And, you know, you go on the phone and it's just bang away on them. Now, I wish that this would have happened. The Suns on Friday night had their big Suns gala. They have this big Suns thing every year, and they had it at the Princess. And everybody's there, and they're all happy, and they have all these pictures up on social media, and it's a great time, and it's so much fun. I wish this would have happened the day before the big Suns gala rather than afterwards, because I'm sure this morning there's got to be a little bit of damage control going on if it didn't happen yesterday. You know, the Suns front office, these poor salespeople going out there trying to sell this product that is just mediocre at best, that just traded away these players, that has no vision, that has no rhyme or reason. And yet they want to tell me that Markeith Morris is a big part of what they're all about. Whenever I write something or talk about Markeith Morris, it's never good. Even when he scores 35 and I hear Keith this and Keith that, he's never done it consistently. So he sounds to me like a player that wants out of Phoenix. Problem is, it's right after the trade deadline. He should have taken this tact a couple of weeks ago. So once again, you have to look at this and say to yourself, self, do we have a player here that is a championship caliber player? And the answer is resoundingly no. Anybody who makes an issue out of what happened the other night is completely out of their minds. All right, there's some other things here. So the Coyotes over the weekend, I know I don't talk about the Coyotes much because here's the deal on this. If you're a diehard hockey fan, I've told you this through the years, I don't care unless they're relevant, okay? you're going to go watch them when they stink. And you get mad at me about that. But guess what? They've been awful with a capital A for a long time. When they went to the playoffs back in 2012, who was there with their show? Me. If you're going to call me a front runner, fine. Guilty as charged. Nobody cares about the franchise. So over the weekend, when they drop a bomb and they trade away Vermette for a first round pick, makes sense to me. Might as well stockpile. When they trade Yandel, makes sense to me. Might as well stockpile. And so the narrative will be, we're just simply resetting. Don Maloney's a quality hockey guy. Dave Tippett's a quality hockey coach. I'm surprised they're both still here, given the mess that Glendale has created, and it's not going to get any better. You think fans are going to show up now to watch this? Because they weren't showing up to begin with. I haven't seen the schedule coming up, because if it's loaded with the Red Wings and Blackhawks, that's great. That means there will be fans in the stands. Markeith Morris would be pretty happy being a Coyote fan if he were rooting for Detroit, because there'll be thousands of Detroit fans there to watch their home team, their team play in Phoenix, which would be a home game. You know, they drop a bomb, and so they reset, and we're going to get this thing that we're going the right direction. We're going to get it all figured out. The media will run to Shane Doan. Shane Doan will probably, now I'm not 100% sure on this one, he will probably say, yeah, it's frustrating, but I understand what ownership is going to do or is doing. Because 5 years ago, they were giving me the behind the scenes, we've got to make some new faces to go alongside of Shane Doan or we're going to be in trouble. It's 5 years later. There aren't any. They can give me the, yeah, we're really excited. We may get the number one or number two overall pick in the NHL draft. That means you were awful for a long period of time. And you want fans to forget that. And you've been nothing more than something to fill up the building on nights when there's nothing else going on out in Glendale. I'm sorry, Coyote fans. And I'm actually sorry for some of the employees over there, because there's some really quality people. But they blow up the team, and Markeith Morris is going to get more attention saying something really ridiculous and stupid than a whole franchise imploding. On the NFL front, and we've got Paula coming up, I want to get this in too. So Marshawn Lynch decided to speak to a Turkish media outlet. Of course he did.
Makes sense.
Of course he did. And he talked about how he was wanting to be the face of the NFL in the United States. I'm paraphrasing. He wanted to get the football to finish off the Super Bowl. And I said on this show the day after they lost that there's going to be problems within the locker room moving forward with Pete Carroll and Daryl Bevel over the play call that took place there. Well, what do you know? So up in Seattle now, they're up in arms that Marshawn Lynch decided to sound off, not speak to the people in Seattle, did not sign his contract yet. And so you have this big narrative up there as to the locker room. Is it split or not? Not shocking at all. Ndamukong Suh, so the Lions pass on the tag. Ndamukong Suh, for as big a buckethead as you may think he is and dirty player, again, he's the Danny Ainge of the NFL. If he's on my team, I love having Ndamukong Suh because he's going to wreak havoc for my team. When he's on everybody else's team, I hate him. If he goes to the Dallas Cowboys, which is not one of the teams they're talking about, but I'm just saying by example, the Cowboy fans will go crazy and they'll all buy his jersey. Instead, it seems to me that all of the dollars that are available, there's really a handful of teams can go after Ndamukong Suh. You may hate him, but he by far is the most impactful free agent that is available here in the offseason. And so, if the Raiders go sign him, of course the Raiders sign him. They're going to go take $18 million of their salary slot and go give it to Ndamukong Suh. Makes perfect sense because it's the stinking Raiders. If Jacksonville goes out and does the same thing, there's really only a handful of teams that can afford Ndamukong Suh. I've already had people send me notes about the Cardinals. Could the Cardinals get in an Ndamukong Suh? I'm sure they could if they released a few more players and had more salary space available. He is the top defensive player available. But what sense does that make to tie up that much roster money in one guy? He grabs his knee and you're screwed for a long time. Paula Bovin's on the other side, news and notes, AZ Central sports columnist. We are making this the Markieff Morris show today because the fans are not loud enough. The fans weren't into the game. One other thing about Goran Dragic, it's being reported today down in Miami that the Suns thought they had a commitment from Goran that he would resign long-term if they traded Isaiah Thomas. There was a meeting on the 15th of February between Dragic and Sarver. And in that meeting, it was his preference for a trade that he wouldn't resign in the offseason. We knew about that, but there was the belief that we'll trade IT, as they like to say, and we'll get you taken care of. Instead, Goran came in and dropped the bomb on him. Now, they need to drop the bomb on Markieff Morris. I don't know what you can do on that. Paula's next.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmat.
I would think as a leading columnist for the newspaper of record in Arizona that when you saw Markieff Morris say what he said, you're like, this is too easy.
Pretty much, you know, and I sat on it for a little bit. I didn't write anything till this morning because, you know, there's a small part of him I understand. I understand what he was trying to do, but it's not the way to do it. And, you know, I just blogged about it. I mean, when you look at the cost to attend a game, I mean, the average ticket price is over $50 for the Suns. And when you look at how much money this guy makes, I think with his new contract, it's something like $97,000 per game. We can't relate to what he's saying. You just have to kind of keep your pipe hole shut.
Pipe hole.
I don't know.
So, you said something there off the top. You kind of understand what he was trying to say. I have no idea what he was trying to say. Can you please fill me in? Can you please enlighten me? Because I have no idea what he was trying to say.
Yeah, and I think I meant pie hole. It's early, Brad.
That's fine.
I think people who have gone to the Suns games this season have noticed a definite difference in energy. I felt it, too. And, you know, and maybe it's the lack of, you know, high-profile player that everyone's very excited about. Maybe it's all the moves they've made. But there's different environment. And I think he was, in his awkward sort of way, was just trying to say, we really benefit from the support of you guys when you're loud and would love to see people be louder. But he didn't say it that way. And you know, it's been interesting, though. I've been on social media a lot. There's a fair amount of people defending him, which I found surprising. I just thought it was so ill-advised, his choice at a time when the team is struggling,
okay.
Especially.
So now that I've heard your end, I'm going to share with you mine.
All right.
He's a fool. So you just had the worst loss of the season, right? You had your lowest scoring half in the history of the franchise. You've been about as inconsistent a player as I've seen. And I've never been a fan of his game. I'll just say that. The arena has been a morgue for more than the last 4 years. That's what happens when you drive a team into the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
And the team is still in the ditch. The team is nowhere as near close to coming out of the ditch. They may think they are, and they may have some nice pieces, but he certainly, along with his brother, are not the pieces. I'm taking the conspiracy theory grassy knoll here that he, along with his brother, through their agent, want out of Phoenix and would say something as asinine and ludicrous, even though it's past the trade deadline. I don't want him on my team. The fact that he said what he said just even exacerbates the situation, exclamation points the situation. Please get out of my city.
Well, if there's any truth to what you're saying, and I would hope there's not, I mean, shame on them. This team has gone out of its way to kind of keep these guys happy, including that, you know, the whole contract situation, that extension where they were able to decide how to split it up. You know, a lot of teams wouldn't do that. I think it's more a product, Brad, of a guy who's 25. You know, there are these athletes who grow up and they are, you know, they play college basketball. They're great athletes. It doesn't mean they're very astute when it comes to being savvy professionally in professional situations, in marketing situations. And sometimes these guys are thrust in these situations and then make these bad decisions of saying things they shouldn't. I mean, I think it's kind of that simple with him, and it was dumb.
Can you win a title with Markieff Morris as one of your key components?
Oh, sure. I mean, You see Markieff sometimes. He does some really talented things. I think there's definitely a maturity issue, an issue of sort of being a team player and all that kind of thing. But I see that he works hard. I think he's very talented.
Okay, we disagree.
He just needs to be whipped in shape, I think, a little bit.
We disagree.
All right.
I please get him out of here. That's my view.
Okay.
And I'm respect
disagree.
Yours. All right. So now let's go over to Goran Dragic. Does mm-hmm. Goran Dragic, now Paul Coro sent out a tweet that he's got a back issue. He's being reevaluated. He wants to play.
Wow.
For tonight's game. So if he plays, does he say anything back to Lon Babby in his ridiculous comments at the press conference last week and Ryan McDonough, or does Goran Dragic just simply smile and say, I've turned the page? What do you think?
Latter, absolutely. Because he's kind of, I've seen some stuff where he's been a bit remorseful of how everything kind of came down. I think, you know, somebody was in his ear at that time and kind of got, and he said something or whatever. My thought always with him with that thing was he's a good guy who just made a bad decision for, you know, for 30 seconds or something, and his words weren't smart. But I think the team still has affection for him despite their sort of strong statement coming out, because he was not that guy his whole career there. So I think it's going to be fine. I absolutely do.
News and notes, Paula Bovinese, Central Sports columnist with Brad Sussmat. Going to Serbia to interview Jahi Carson. I never thought that would come up on my radar screen, but if there was a story I would love to go tell if I had the access to tell it, it's how did you go from a guy holding a press conference in the middle of summer that you were going to turn pro to becoming somewhat of an afterthought at the end of your last year at ASU, to the point where there's people at ASU who really are kind of hands-off towards Jahi Carson, to go to Australia, and now he signs with a team over the weekend in Serbia. What do you make out of that story?
You know, I hadn't realized he had signed with a Serbian team. I mean, I think Jahi is like other players I've seen who are, you know, pretty much AAU superstars, and they have talent, but not everybody who's great in college will necessarily translate into a great pro, whether it's your height, other things. And he was also a guy who had a lot of people in his ear. I mean, I think he was a good guy. I think comes from a good family, but there were choices, I think, of people telling this is that, and he listened to him. And so, yeah, I think, but I also think you have to consider maybe he just wasn't a guy's game was going to translate very well in the NBA. I don't know.
Have you found the same thing that I have with ASU people, that there's kind of a disconnect between ASU and Jahi Carson since he left?
I don't know if disconnect's the right word, but I think it was a challenging situation at the end of his tenure, or the end of his stay there with ASU. And the fact, if he was in the NBA, maybe there would be more of a willingness to share what he was doing. Hey, did you see Jahi, blah, blah, blah. But because he parted kind of angry in some ways.
Yeah,
I don't think they're willing to embrace him too much because of that. I think he did, you know, he did some nice things for the program, and I think they're grateful for all that. But I think sort of the way it ended sort of soured that situation.
You've done a lot around U of A basketball. March Madness is right around the corner. Stanley Johnson gets a nice warm seat next to, or a cold seat, depending on how you look at it,
right,
next to Sean Miller and the coaching staff. They've had their challenges, from my understanding, with him all season. You're closer to that than I am. This happened against Utah, where he was benched at the end of the game.
Right.
Have you found the same thing that I've heard around Stanley Johnson, that's been a challenging year for U of A and him?
Yeah, from what I've heard, though, and you know, it's been tough, I think, for them, because they're coming off a year with a freshman who embraced all those team ideals and Aaron Gordon. And from everyone I've heard down there, they like Stanley Gordon, and he's a good guy.
Stanley Johnson.
He's a good guy, and you know, he works hard and all those other things, but he has struggled to make that situation of not being the guy. And so I don't feel like they feel like it's a dire situation, but it's a much more longer learning process than it was with Gordon.
Before I get out of here, so the Cardinals, you wrote about Adrian Peterson this morning, and I don't think that they have any shot in heck, but you have to simply ask the question about Ndamukong Suh, because mm-hmm. the Lions didn't franchise him. They would take up a lot of space. But let's start with Adrian Peterson, because both Peterson and Suh have their share of baggage, but they both, at the end of the day, are terrific football players. Where are you at on Peterson and the Cardinals if in fact they pursue him?
Well, you know, and this is one, and I wrote this, I've really struggled with it, because when the words child abuse are part of the discussion, it's hard to move on from that. You know, and some people don't agree with this, but there's a part of me that can't help but ignore his past and the fact that that's how he grew up and that's how what he was surrounded by, and that was his sort of learned behavior. So I would think it would be okay only if, you know, the NFL and the Cardinals use all those great investigative resources that they have, show that there's true contrition, show that he's getting counseling, and really show there's an understanding that what he did was wrong and that behavior hasn't continued. If they can get those questions answered in a positive way, I think that's the only way you can consider bringing this guy on board. And it's a difficult one, I think, for Michael Bidwell, simply because of his position in the NFL and being part of that committee, you know, regarding discipline and all the other issues that the NFL has dealt with players.
Well, is it a culture thing? Did Peterson grow up in a culture of twitches and switches and all that? Mm-hmm. And like Michael Vick, we've seen that fans are forgiving.
Right.
Not all of them, but a lot of them. I hate to talk about abuse of an animal and abuse of a child in the same vein, but
right.
But I am. You know, is it a culture thing that he went through? You have to ask that. Just plain X and O talking football. Here's my view. The window is closing on this group of Cardinals. Carson Palmer is going to be 36. He's coming off two surgeries. Larry Fitzgerald just extended himself. For me to think that Larry behind the scenes hasn't said anything to Michael in the front office about go get Adrian, given the Minnesota connection, is foolish. Of course he has. But my view is the window is closing. If you're going to do it with this group, you better be all in this year to do it.
Oh, I think it's a fair thing. I mean, and you make a great point, Brad. You look at any sort of successful team, you know, maybe taking the Patriots out of the equation. You have windows. Everybody has windows, and they win for a while, and then it takes a while to rebuild. I think it's a very fair assessment of the Cardinals, and they need to do something, and certainly at that running back situation, whether it's, you know, Peterson or taking somebody in the first round that's a good running back. There's, you know, more first round running backs this year than there has been in the past, so maybe that's the answer. It's got to be the right one. But yeah, I agree with you about the window. I think it's a real, real issue.
So if you're Michael Bidwell, I'm not going to sit here and rip him if they go get Adrian Peterson, and here's why. It would tell me that he would have to do his due diligence. This is not the franchise of years past where they brought in bad dudes all over the place. Now, do they make the occasional mistake? Sure, we saw that last year with the running back situation. They got them in this hole. And Darrell Washington. Yeah, there's been examples, but every team has guys that blow up and implode in the NFL. So I'm fine if they go pursue him because, look, you've got to win in this year. You can't tell me a year from now they're going to be that much closer. I can't get into first-round elimination games next year.
Right.
So.
Well, and I just think if they go that route, there just has to be transparency. People have to know those questions were answered that we were talking about and make them clear. Otherwise, I just think it's going to look bad.
What are you working on today? Anything?
I'm working on staying inside because it's raining.
Atta girl.
Yep.
Be well.
All right, Brad.
There's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist and my friend, most importantly. On the other side, Chris Cartman. Chris Cartman's one of the regulars we've had on this show through the years, and he's making a move professionally. I think it's very good for him. I'm going to ask him about that, his new destination, and for you ASU football fans and college football fans in general, we'll hear from Chris Cartman. That's on the other side. Not many people in sports I've come across through the years that work as hard as Chris Cartman. He has, of course, been at Rivals. He's jumping over to scout.com in the recruiting world. There's lots of guys we can put on and we don't. You know, there's just a few. We do some stuff with Tom Luganbill. We do some stuff with Greg Biggins. We do, of course, a lot with Jason Jewell because I've always admired Jason, what he stands for and what he's all about. And when we first started doing sports360az.com, Eric said, you need to talk to Chris Cartman. And I looked at him and I looked at his content and what he stood for and he was all about. And through the years, we've had a terrific partnership and it's good to have him on. When I heard that he jumped, I'd actually heard about a month ago that he was leaving, but didn't call him, didn't do anything about it. Just that's one of those deals. He made the move from Rival to Scout. SunDevilSource.com is his new landing spot, and you need to go check that out and bookmark it, SunDevilSource.com. He has plenty of ASU content, and he joins us for a couple of minutes. Was this a tough decision for you?
At the end of the day, not really, Brad, if I'm being perfectly honest with you.
Please be perfectly honest with me. Don't be unperfectly honest.
Yeah, no, the reality is that we had the opportunity to stay with Rivals. They pursued having us extend our contract and renew for a period of probably 2 years.
Yeah.
And the opportunity that Scout provided from a revenue guarantee standpoint, from their network, what they do with covering, recruiting at a grassroots level. The two guys that you just mentioned previously, two of them, I know all three of them. It's Jason Jewell and Greg Biggins are two of the best in the region that we cover. And already just in the first day and a half, the amount of outpouring of support from these people on scout.com has been tremendous. And also from fans, I can tell you, Brad, we've signed up more people, probably 7-8 times more people than we ever did in a single day in my 11 years on Rivals, with people that are just really rushing to embrace what we're trying to do.
So what are you trying to do?
Right. So we just want to take our coverage to a different place. And everything comes down to time and resources, as you know.
Yep.
And what this is going to do is it's going to allow us to have a bigger staff, to continue to keep people that are really important to what we do from a staff standpoint, including Kevin Stewart, who's been a recruiting analyst and my right-hand guy for 10 years now. We're adding additional resources and people into the fold. I think that the community on scout.com that was existing in the ASU market was terrific. It's a great opportunity for us to put our product on display for a lot of people who weren't as familiar with it, especially the stuff that's behind the paywall, so to speak. There's been a lot of people who have come over and said that, you know, they think that the people at Scout are going to be extremely happy. And this is something that's it's not just us. In recent months, our Notre Dame site from Rivals migrated to scout.com. The USC site did. In the West Coast and the Pac-12 in particular, it's extremely strong on scout.com. I would say the industry leading sites on about 8 or 9 markets. And that's just something coupled with everything else that was too hard for us to pass up.
Yeah. Are you still going to come on with me, or you can't do that?
Oh, absolutely. Right. I mean,
you're still going to write something occasionally, or you can't do that?
No, I can do that as well.
Right.
We look forward to it. And I apologize for not more recently, but it's been an enormous strain, and this transitional process has been relatively overwhelming. But I do expect that it's going to settle down here as we get into spring football, and I look forward to exploring all those opportunities.
Yeah. Well, you know, Eric and I were going to beat you up, but we just thought, what did we say? What did we do? And then, you know, you start hearing the rumblings of, ooh, there's movement afoot. No, but I mean,
no, you guys did nothing wrong. You guys, yeah. I tell everybody all the time, Twitter, social media, people I come in contact with, you got to be following these guys on Sports 360 AZ.
Oh, come on, get out of here.
No, you don't have to suck up
to us.
But really, Brad, because who is really covering from being at all kinds of high school games to covering all the pro sports teams, being there for every press conference and every big breaking news event? Who really is doing that anymore, especially on the web in this state? I don't think that anyone else is doing it in the way that you guys are, and I admire and appreciate that. And that's frankly why I like having the relationship that we have.
All right. So that means you can come on here and screw around. So
yeah,
that's fine. All right.
We'll set up some pins and we'll do some bowling in the studio or whatever helps get people to watch.
No, it's fine. I don't care. I don't sit there and get all wound up about a number. I just want good stuff. So let's get to on the field and on the court here. So where are you at today on the future of Herb Sendek being the coach of ASU basketball in 2015, 2016?
Well, I know he's going to get another year, first of all. I can tell you for sure he's going to get another year. Based on my sources, people really at a high level at ASU, they said that he will be back next year, okay? So do I think he should be back? I would say yes. He has
no hesitation on that yes.
No hesitation on the yes. I do say, and I have told our readers, that this is probably the season that he's underachieved the most relative to the talent that he has to work with. I think he made some very big mistakes early on in the season. He was playing Chance Murray a lot at point guard. He was playing other guys at point guard. Cody Justice, who I think is more of a three, and I think he's going to be a great player for ASU down the road. But he needed to really get his players up to speed. And I think also from a style standpoint, some of the things that they were doing wasn't great. And it took too long in those November, December, early January months to transition to be what they could be. They've obviously done a lot better more recently, excluding the Utah debacle, and that really was a debacle. But prior to that, they had won 7 out of 10 games. You look at their team moving forward, Eric Jacobson, Savon Goodman, Trey Holder, that's three really good players. And I always, as you know, look at what's in the pipeline from a recruiting standpoint.
Right.
I think there are two additions next year. Are really good already. They're probably going to need to add another big for sure. That's going to be very important for them to add a big. But I like kind of where things are at. But he's got to do better on a more consistent basis, talking about Sendek. If he doesn't get it done next year, if they're not a 20-plus win team, and at least like on a bubble for an NCAA tournament, I'll probably feel differently then.
Wow. I mean, I can see your point, but I have just struggled with I've been out at the high school finals, okay, and the playoffs. And I'm a hoopaholic. I'm one of those guys. And I see another great group of players that are leaving the state, not giving them a look, Lightfoot and Satterwhite over Gilbert Christian. I don't think they have a shot. They may say they have a shot. I don't think they have a shot at Bagley right now. I know they don't have a shot at Barsolo. They don't have a shot at Kuyper. He's going off to New Mexico. I mean, I can keep going down the list of all these guys, well, Chris, and just saying, come on, here in
well,
state.
Let me jump in on some of those guys. I'm going to go ahead and say on the record right now, make some predictions, okay?
Yeah.
Christian Satterwhite is not a Pac-12 basketball prospect at a high level. Dane Kuyper would have been a role type of a guy had he gone to ASU as opposed to New Mexico. I like him. I like everything he's about, but he's not a difference maker. And the other guy that they got, I think, that you mentioned, I think he also is going to be just kind of a, you know, pretty decent prospect. They did offer him. I don't think that was a big
Lightfoot,
miss on
Lightfoot.
Their part.
You're talking about Lightfoot. Yeah. Lightfoot and Satterwhite are both juniors. I disagree with you on Satterwhite. Satterwhite's going to Colorado. They made a mistake on Hopkins. It's fine. I think he's a better player than Hopkins, but that's just me.
Yeah, I disagree. I think, actually, the talent in the state hasn't been as good in the last year or two. They have certainly missed on a lot of guys that they should have gotten. In fact, if you look, this is kind of esoteric, but there's been some really good players that ASU could have had and didn't. Kawhi Leonard is one. They should have had Klay Thompson. Both of those guys would have gone to ASU had ASU wanted them at the time, and instead they didn't. They went other directions. That was a big mistake. But the thing that people don't realize, I think, Brad, is how challenging it is from an infrastructural standpoint to have basketball success at ASU. That's a long conversation. I'd love to talk about it. I'd love to actually write about it for your audience, and I plan on doing that because I think that there's some perception issues that don't really measure up with what the reality is on the ground.
Do you think they have a shot at Bagley?
No, I mean, probably not, but here's the other thing.
Yeah.
You realize, and I'm not saying this about Bagley's recruitment in particular.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But some of these recruitments, they're not the cleanest, healthiest, most productive.
No question.
It's a lot of shoe deal stuff.
Yeah,
back end stuff. He's great. Barsolo, and they got Marcus Howard committed. He's a top 50 recruit in the country.
Shoots too much, but he's on a bad team, so he's got to shoot. So I get that.
Yeah, if you put him on Barcelo's team and Barcelo on his team.
Same deal, yeah. I get it.
That's right. Barcelo's great, too. And, yes, they're not going to play together in college, but primarily because they want to play the same position, and that's something that's hard to do when they're in the same class.
I get it. All right. Anything around football that you want to get excited about before I get you out of here? I got about a minute.
Yeah, just spring football is coming up in 2 weeks. They got some really neat additions. Davon Durant, let's just really put out there right now, he's probably going to be the best linebacker prospect at ASU since Vontez Burfict. He's going to fill that double backer position where they need somebody. Super explosive, great athlete. Brady White's coming into the fold. Obviously five-star quarterback, everyone knows him. We're looking forward to seeing what he does. He's already gained 10 pounds since he got to ASU.
Okay, let me jump in on White. Okay.
Okay.
Is there any shot at all that he pushes Burko to the side? Would Todd do that at all, no matter how great he is in spring football?
I can't imagine that happening. I really can't. Right. Because Berkovici is too much of a leader, too much from a knowledge-based standpoint of the offense at this point. Maybe if he struggled or something in the fall, but I think it's super unlikely.
All right. SunDevilSource.com. And you can also find them over on scout.com, right? I mean, that's, you got two spots for people to go to. All right.
Yep.
Appreciate the time. Catch up with you. You're going to be in Vegas Pac-12 tournament.
Absolutely.
I'll see you up there.
Okay. Appreciate you, Brad. Thanks.
You got it. It's Chris Cartman for a couple of minutes. I have fun with Chris. Chris comes on here and we disagree and fight.
All the time.
It's great.
Like, you guys disagree all the time.
It's fun.
He's a good player. No, I don't really think he is a good
player. I don't think he's a good player.
Really? Okay, I see your point. Well, do you see my point? Yeah, I see your point. Okay, next.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's just the way it is.
And that's just the way Chris is, you know?
That's fine.
He loves a good debate.
Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. On the other side, we get you caught up some things on my mind. Today is a huge day in our state, not for the Arizona Cardinals, not for the Arizona Diamondbacks. I mean, the Coyotes are trading half their roster. It's fine. Markieff Morris had to explain himself on Twitter in the last segment. I'll bring that up. I just saw that pop through. No, today's the state finals in basketball. If you're any sort of basketball fan, you should be out watching the high school finals tonight. It's been fun. So I'll get to reset on everything going on. Dominic and Sue and some other pro football stuff too. Sports360AZ.com.